Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. If you don't have a Bible this morning, go ahead and lift up your hand, and one of our ushers will get a Bible to you today. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Take it home. If you just forgot your Bible today, you can leave it back on the table on your way out. Go ahead and lift up your hand, and one of the ushers will get you a Bible this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter number 4. So we're continuing the I Love My Church series today, and I appreciate, again, it's good to see a lot of shirts in the crowd, and I got a great story this morning from someone who this morning was wearing their shirt, got into a conversation with somebody, like, you know, where is your church? What is that about? And explained, you know, what our church was and where we met and all the rest, and was like, you might be seeing me one of these days. I'm kind of interested in that. So you just never know the kind of conversations that it might evoke. And so appreciate that. Now, this is the last week, so we'll conclude the series next Sunday. So what I'd love to do, and I've seen several of these on Facebook, and I've been saving them, get a picture of yourself in your shirt somewhere. All right? We're going to put a little montage together next week and either text it to me or email it to me or put it on Facebook where I can grab it. And let's have a little fun this week, this final week of our series. I Love My Church. And wear your shirt out there somewhere. Get a photo of it and send it in. And we'll have some fun with that as we close things off next week. So this morning we're talking about love by giving. And so this is a message that is obviously about giving. And this is one of those times that as a church and, you know, as an organization, when you start talking about money and finances and things of that nature, people get really uneasy, and it sometimes can be very, very difficult because one of the unfortunate stereotypes that churches face, oftentimes for very good reason, is the church is always asking me for money. The church is always asking about money, and the church is just obsessed with money, and all they want is my money. They don't really care about me. They just care about my wallet, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we've all heard those stories. You may have had some of those experiences. I've had those experiences. And so when we talk about money and finance and giving in the context of church, it's important that we do it because it's in the Bible. It's biblical. It's important. We have to talk about it, but that we do it in a way that truly is Bible-based and not in any type of coercive manner or things of that nature. And so, in fact, we're not even going to talk most about what you think we're going to talk about, because it's really about the giving and the care that we need to be having for one another in the context of what we've been talking about already: community, family, serving one another, and now love by giving. But I want to start by just some foundational things, and these aren't in your notes. This is free, all right? This is extra bonus. Bonus PG points this morning, okay? Number one, God doesn't need your money. God does not need your money. God owns everything, okay? God has it all. If God wants something to happen, it's going to happen. So God's not interested in your money. God's interested in your heart. And that is, and we've got to capture that. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And because so many of our lives are caught up in our treasure, our earthly material stuff, that's many times where our heart is drawn to. So God doesn't need your money. He's looking at your heart, and that's a very, very important principle. A second thing, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. I read that somewhere. It's in the Bible. It's in 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, not to give under compulsion, not to give grudgingly, but determine in your heart what you should give, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I hope that when we approach the subject of giving, it won't be saying, oh, it's the offering time. Oh, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to pretend I'm not here. I'm going to do something. Whatever. Whatever it is, you know, whatever, however we kind of process that moment, you know, that's a time to be excited to be able to give back to God a portion of what He has so abundantly blessed us with. Okay, so God loves a cheerful giver. So when you give, okay, not if you give, but when you give, give cheerfully. Give cheerfully, knowing that God's got great plans for it. Number three, we here at Adventure Church of Yuba City, we're so grateful for your support. Thank you for that. And if we maybe we don't say it enough, I don't know. We try to say it, we try to communicate it, but I want to make sure that you know from staff to leadership, thank you for the support that you give to this church. We don't want you to give to this church. We don't want you to give to Adventure per se, We want you to give to God's kingdom and God's work that's happening through Adventure Church of Yuba City. But we do want to say thank you. We believe it's important that we acknowledge what you're doing. And we're very transparent about it in the bulletin each week. There's a stewardship report in there. Some people have come to us and they don't like that at all. Like, oh, you're making it about money and you're just putting the money in my face every week. And then we have some people like, oh, I just love that. It's so transparent and open, and we know exactly what's happening, you know, financially in the church, because there's so many churches, we just don't know what's going on with the money in the church. And so, you know, we battle that, you know, back and forth, because everyone comes, you know, based on their experience and based on, you know, what they've gone through. But we try to be very transparent about it, and that's our heart. It's not to in any way put any kind of stigma on it. We want to be open with you, and we want to say thank you for your support of this local ministry. It means a lot to us personally, as staff members, and also just to our community as we're able to do the ministry God's called us to do. And then just lastly, giving is not about the end result. It's about the work it does in our hearts. You know, when you become someone who's generous, when you become someone who is a giver, someone who helps other people, gives to churches, gives to missions, gives to Christian organizations, gives to people who are in need, okay? It's not so much about the end result and what's happening with that dollar, that $50, that $100, whatever it is. It's about the work it's doing in your heart. It makes you a better person when you have that spirit of generosity. And so when we're talking about giving, we're not talking about just the offering that's in the plate, the offering that's in the basket, all those kinds of things. Even those things are necessary, important, and we need to be worshiping God through our tithes and our offerings. But it's also about the work that God is doing in us. And that's the platform then we want to spring into as we go into our message today, as we think about the subject of loving my church by giving. Okay? So when you came in this morning, you noticed the trunk here on the platform, and it's empty, okay? There's nobody, you know, and a couple kids like, is there somebody in there? You know, is something going to pop out, you know? And we're going to saw a small child. No, we're not going to do any of those things today. But where's Trey? Trey, come on up here and tell everybody what this is, okay? And that'll get us started this morning. You don't have to come up here. You can stay. You can stay down here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This actually is a family heirloom. This is a hope chest. And this came, I believe it came from Italy, from my great-grandmother when she came over from Italy to Ellis Island. My grandfather and my grandmother had this, and I was the first granddaughter that got married. So it was graciously passed down to me. There's a lot of history in this because of where it came from. I did not have the honor of knowing my grandparents from Italy, my great-grandparents. So to me, this is a part of my family. It's gone through a lot. It used to have wills. No longer has wills. Our kids have painted nail polish on it, and they've done their own little different things. But it's actually in the condition that it was. So it actually has done very, very well. So, and this just means the world. And most likely, don't tell Kayla. It'll probably go to Kayla as a special gift to her to pass down from family to family.
All right, so. Cool. All right. How many of you have something like that at home? Hope chest or a trunk or, you know, something like that, okay? We oftentimes have, you know, special heirlooms, things that are meaningful to us. I'm wearing this morning, I've talked about the ring that I have before. I can't get it off. There we go. This was my grandfather's grandfather's ring, the stone. My grandfather then had it remounted, and it was my dad's, and it passed down to me. I don't wear it very often because it kind of makes me look like a TV preacher. You know, I need like a holy hanky or something to be holding. But anyway, so I don't wear it. I don't wear it very often. But it's meaningful to me, kind of like what Tracy was saying about this chest, not just because it's intrinsically valuable. I mean, it's probably the most valuable thing that I own monetarily, but because of where it comes from, you know, because it's been in my family, and it was on my grandfather's hand and my father's hand, and now it's on my hand, and one day it will be on my son's hand, and he knows that, and we talk about it, and he talks about, you know, grandpa's ring and having that one day, and it's a very special, you know, it's a very special thing for us. So when we talk about, you know, these types of things, these things that have value to us, it's not just about the value that they hold intrinsically, it's about the connection that there is with a person, okay? And so when we're talking about this idea of giving and supporting and helping, we're not just talking about, you know, into an offering, into a bank account, what kind of interest is it collecting, what's it buying and purchasing as far as salary, and we bought, you know, children's church curriculum this week, you know, for the entire year. We bought the year's worth of children's curriculum, you know, this week. You know, the curriculum and the coffee and all those types of things. But when we talk again, when we're talking about I love my church, what are we talking about? The people and you, this congregation, this church family, and how we need to be connected with one another and the meaningfulness that is shared when we give to help those people that are around us. And that's what we're going to look at here in Acts chapter number 4. All right, so go ahead and look up on the screen here, and I want us to read together as we've done the last couple of weeks. There's actually two slides. You probably caught that already in the back. But let's go ahead and read through this text this morning. And man, let this be our passion to get to this mindset as it relates to the early church. Okay, so I'll say the reference and let's read the verses together. All right, Acts 4, 32 to 35. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. When we start talking about the early church, when we start talking about Acts, the Acts church was a radical church. They were right up against the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's ministry, death, burial, resurrection, ascension to heaven, the church is born. And the church at this moment, at this stage, early Acts, is close to the heart of the gospel as we can get. And friends, we, as best we can, okay, as best we can, living in 2015 in the United States of America, need to, as the best we can, adopt a mindset that says, I want to be in this kind of a church. I want my heart to be for these people. I want my heart to be for meeting the needs of the congregation that God has placed me in. When it comes to possessions, the first church knew how to help one another, to love one another. But unfortunately, we come many times to our stuff and our things with a very selfish, self-centered mindset. A little bit like what we see in the film Finding Nemo. Check it out. Hit the lights, Antonio.
Your rats was dead.
I've been looking for his boy Nemo.
Nemo?
He was taken off the roof by divers and just.
Yes,
hey,
say that again. You just said something about Nemo. What was it?
Okay. So, do we have that attitude sometimes? Yeah. This is mine. Mine. You know, we our kids are that way. But we all fall into this category of just having a much different mindset than what biblically our mindset needs to be about our stuff, about things, about money, about finances, about possessions. So let's take a look what we can learn today. All right, just a couple of quick points. Excuse me. Okay, number one, and you've got an outline there in your bulletin you can follow along with us there today. Number one, release your grip. Okay, release your grip. The passage in Acts says, not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. The first church had a loose grip. The first church had a very loose grip. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Do you realize that today? Everything that you have, everything that you own, everything that you've been blessed with, it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. We're just stewards. Right, hit the next one. We are the investment bank. We're all familiar with investments and 401ks and mutual funds and your retirement accounts, things of that nature. You know, what happens? What happens with that? You know, we take the money, we deposit the money into that account, and we let it sit there, and we let it collect interest, and we let it roll over, and our hope is that at the end of the day, at the end of the career, at the end of the time, it's going to reap a really good reward, okay? You know what the investment bank is in this world? It's you. We are the investment bank. God has given to us, and we are the investment, and the return, hit the next one. The measurement for that good return is how we love others with what we have. The measurement for that good return is how we love others with what we have. Friends, we need to let go a little bit. We need to put aside the mindset, it's all mine. It's mine to do with as I please. How can I get ahead? How can I get further on? So again, it's not just a simple message of, give to the church. Give in the offering. Go online and participate in giving online and things of that nature. No, it's about what are we doing to give among the needs of this body, the needs of this congregation? How are we helping the people around us in the community that we see? Okay? We need to release our grip from those things. The first church didn't demonstrate their love by giving, just by giving to the corporate entity called the church. They love by sharing everything with one another, by giving to the personal entity called the church, the people that were in the church. And the apostles, of course, were helping with distribution, but it was all about helping those people that were in need. So we need to release our grip, point number one. Number two, we need to tighten our belt. Tighten your belt. I've heard this a lot. Pastor, I would love to give, but I can't afford. I can't afford to give. Well, we need to find ways in which we can give. And if that means we've got to cut out a meal someplace, a run through Starbucks, going out, okay? Changing our lifestyle in some way, we need to be open to that. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this situation that I'm being confronted with? And tightening our belt. This is kind of an aside, but let me share it here. Mexico is coming up, okay? So we're going to be going to Mexico in June. And we're basically, the month of February is the time we're really trying to gather as much interest as we possibly can, because some of the fundraising efforts are going to happen March, April, and May. If you're here this morning, teenager, adult, doesn't matter. Okay, if you're here this morning and you're open to the possibility about going to Mexico for a week, the first question you should not ask is, can I afford to go? That is not the first question, but that's typically the first question we ask. Well, can I afford to go? Okay, here's the first question. Are you ready? God, do you want me to go to Mexico? That's the first question that you ask. Because if God wants you to go to Mexico, God is going to provide the means for you to get to Mexico. Because God doesn't need money. He's got it all. Okay? So it's kind of the same principle. You know, we're oftentimes thinking in terms of what we can do, what we can do, as opposed to, God, what do you want me to do? And being open and sensitive to the voice of God in our lives and being able to understand what is happening around us. So make room in your budget to help people. That's exactly what the first church did. For there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet. Think about that. There was not a single needy person in this first church. Because if someone had a need, there was someone else that God was going to use to set up that person to help meet that need. That's a fascinating story. That's a fascinating example. Because our churches are full of needy people. And we've got to adopt a mindset that says we're going to do everything within our power. We're going to listen to the voice of God and make sure that there's not a needy person among us. And if that means tightening my belt a little bit, that's what I'm going to do. The first century church, going back to our chest here, our trunk, the first century church wasn't keeping hope chests. They weren't storing up for a rainy day. They weren't even hanging on to their personal property. They were liquidating. Why? To help those around them in need. Okay? Now look, I'm not suggesting you go home today and liquidate everything that you own. But I am saying you need to think in terms of what has God blessed you with and how might God use you to be a blessing to people around you. That is the message from Acts chapter number 4. The single mom who's riding the bus to work because her car is broken down. The family whose dad lost his job who might lose their home. The retiree who has to choose among his prescriptions because he can't afford all of them. The promising college student who may have to drop out for lack of funds. There are needs all around us, but are we aware of those needs? I didn't put a slide for this. Humility and transparent communication is the key. Humble and transparent communication is the key. One of the issues that we face in church is that sometimes we're blind to the needs around us. We're just not paying attention to the needs around us. And there are those who are in need and they don't know how to communicate that to others without drawing attention themselves, or I feel bad, or I just feel uncomfortable asking for help. So what are we going to do? How are we going to cross this divide? Humble and transparent communication is key. Okay, so let me speak on behalf of our ministry. Okay, and that is, we want to help meet the needs that we can meet in this congregation. If you're here and you have a need, there is something going on in your life that we can help you with, we want to know about it. We don't want you to feel bad. We don't want you to feel awkward. We don't want you to feel embarrassed. We want you to know that Adventure Church of Yuba City, there are people who love their church, and that means loving the people that are in the church. And if there's something that we can do to help you, we want to do that. Don't let pride get in the way. Let us know. So we're going to be, so Tim was up here just a couple minutes ago, and I'm sorry, I got to get another cough drop. Tim was up here just a minute ago, and you know, Tim has got a real heart and passion for financial planning and coaching and things of that nature, and Tim is going to be helping lead a team. He also serves on the advisory team. And Tim is going to be kind of a point person for us and helping us better develop and communicate what our benevolence fund is all about. Because we have a benevolence fund in this church. And you know what? It does not please God to see the benevolence fund just sitting in a bank account when there are people in need. And so we talked a little bit yesterday, and so one of the things we'll start doing is we'll put that on the connection card. An opportunity for you to communicate with us. You know, I have a benevolence need. There's something going on, and then we'll contact you, and we can get more details and see if that's something that we might be able to help with. We need to be better about this. And so it's my prayer that this is not just kind of a, like we've said with the other things, community, serving, and now with giving, not just kind of a one-time thing, like, okay, now we can kind of feel better about ourselves. We want to create a culture. We want a DNA in this church, in this body that says, if I have a need, my church family is there. Because that church family was there. They were part of community together. And that's so important. And that's why being in community is such a vital thing. Because we need to know each other. If we don't know each other, we're not going to know what the needs are. And that means opening ourselves up. That means sharing. That means talking. That means communicating. That sometimes that takes us out of our comfort zone a little bit. I get all that. But we've got to be that kind of a church. If we're going to model this church, and that's what we say we want to be, we want to model the early church, we want to be that kind of a body, we want to be that kind of a family, then that's what it's going to involve. Humble and transparent communication. So you've heard it from me this morning. All right, if you have a need, please let us know. And please do not feel embarrassed or off in any way about that. When we're finally able to peer past the fence, remember that from a couple weeks ago? We build the fences. We let people in the front yard, but we don't let people in the backyard. Okay, and what's in the backyard typically? Some of our financial stuff, okay? And there's a lot of junk, there's a lot of garbage, there's a lot of debris, there's a lot of bad choices, there's a lot of, you know, awful circumstances that have happened. And before we can help you, we got to be able to get past the fence. So when we're finally able to peer past the fence, we need to be ready to act on what we see because we've tightened our belt. And once we've loosened our grips and tightened our belts, then we have the opportunity to, number three, are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Give it all away. Give it all away. Now again, don't walk out this morning misunderstanding, okay? This is about our heart. This is about our intent. This is about what, God, what do you want me to do? And if God says to you, if he taps you on the shoulder and says, this is what I want you to do, you need to be prepared to give it all away. Because it's not yours, you're just holding it for him. You're just holding it for him. Give it all away. Once the first church ditched its mind mentality, no one ever had need. Needs were always met. So fervently met, this passage says, and with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. What was the result of that generosity? Testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The people in that community knew that this was a changed people that had been absolutely encountered the resurrected Jesus Christ, and it made a difference in all aspects of their life. Not just what they did on Sunday, but what they did all through the week, and most importantly, what they did with their pocketbook. And they were willing to give it all so that anyone who had need had their needs met. That needs to be our attitude. That needs to be our mindset. Friends, it's not ours. It belongs to God. And if that means tightening our belts so that we can help minister and meet the needs of people around us, then let's do that, because we want to be that kind of a people, mimicking the early church in Acts chapter number 4. It's an awkward message. And it's an awkward passage. Because this is not how the 21st century evangelical North American church typically operates. That's not how we do things. But our heart needs to be, God, help us to be the kind of church that is loving my church, which means loving the people in the church, which means helping meet and minister to the needs that are represented in this body of believers. And when someone has a need, they feel comfortable to come forward and say, I have a need. Is there anything that the church can do? So this is how we're going to close the service today. Jeff, would you come? Basically, what we've tried to do with each one of these messages is provide a real, concrete opportunity to put in practice what we've talked about. So week number one was about community, and we really encourage get plugged into a small group. And we've got the 5-6 small groups going on. They're going really well. I'm so grateful for our leaders and host homes and the great conversations that are happening as it relates to our small groups. Thank you for that. And if you're not plugged into one, find one this week. They're still in your bulletin. Go to one. Even though it's week number four, go to one and get plugged into one even for a couple of weeks. Last week was about serving. We love by serving, and we unpack the Be the City, Be the Church, Reach the City initiative, and all those sign-up banners are still back there. And so before you leave today, if you haven't signed up for a project, I want you to sign up for a project, because that's a great opportunity for us to be the church in this community. So what are we going to do today? Well, today we're going to love by giving. And what we're going to do is a little bit more uncomfortable way of what we typically take benevolence offerings. But I'm here to tell you, we're rethinking how we're doing benevolence around here, because we're just not doing a very good job of it. And so Tim, and he's going to develop a team, and we're going to have some really good structure to what that looks like. But for this morning, today, what we're going to do is we're going to take an offering. And we're going to ask people to come out of their comfort zone just a little bit. I love this. Do you have the We Bought a Zoo? Did I put that in there? Quote. Yeah. So how many of you have seen We Bought a Zoo? It's like one of my all-time favorite movies. So there's this thing at the end. You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery, and I promise you something great will come of it. I love that. Okay? Getting out of our comfort zone just a little bit. So this is what we're going to do. This morning we're going to take a special offering. We've identified a few families in the church, and I've spoken with these families that are in need right now. And we're not going to take an offering right now that's going to go into an account. We're going to take an offering right now, and from this offering right now, we're going to write checks right now that are going to go to those families right now. Because we want to bless them, and we want to encourage them, and we want them to know that we recognize that they have a need. And we as a church family are going to come alongside them and say, we're here to help you. But this is the twist. This is what we're going to do. Are you ready? We're going to come up here. Heads are going to be bowed. Eyes are going to be closed. We'll kill the lights. And we're going to put it in the chest. So what I want you to do is I want you just to pray. Jeff's going to just play through something. I just want you to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? There are needs in our church right now. There are these families that Pastor Greg's identified as being in need right now. God, what would you have me do right now in this moment to help meet that need of these families? We don't normally take offerings like this. We will probably never take an offering like this again. I'd have no idea. It's interesting, when we go to Mexico, at Alpha and Omega Church, Pastor Ray's church, they take the offering like this every Sunday. That's how they do it. They just walk up to the front, and they bring in their offering, okay? This is not about showing attention to ourselves. Like I said, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's going to be looking around. But if God this morning lays upon your heart that he wants you to contribute to this very special offering to go to these very specific needs today, we're going to invite you to come. So take just a couple of moments. Jeff's going to play through a song. And as God lays it upon your heart, come on up and place your offering in the chest that we hope will be meaningful, not just because of the intrinsic value, but because of what it represents, and that is people, because that's what this is about. Go ahead, Jeff. We're not going to tarry long. So as God lays it upon your heart, just coming up to the front, nobody's looking around. Opportunity for you to help respond to the need immediately in our church. Thank you. We prayed long and hard this week as to what to do with this today. I want to thank our leadership team for input, and we've been bouncing emails back and forth this week because there wasn't a one of us that really knew what this would look like. So I had zero expectation, just had no idea. And I don't know what the amount is going to be, and the amount doesn't matter. Because as I was sitting over here, and I purposely didn't look up at faces, but I could tell just person after person after person after person. And that says something about this body. And I want us to be that kind of a family. We're not perfect. We are not. And we make mistakes, and sometimes we fumble our words and we fumble our intentions. But my heart for you and for this ministry is that we would be as closely aligned to this church and Acts as possible within the 21st century North American evangelical mindset. So thank you for your gift, and thank you for giving today. And we'll be talking more about our benevolence and being just much more vocal and active about what it means to be helping. We appreciate your offerings. We appreciate your gifts to the building fund. We appreciate your gifts in helping help send students to Mexico and all those different efforts and initiatives. But if all that comes at the expense of somebody in our church who doesn't have groceries, God help us, right? So let's make sure we're doing a good job with the family that God's entrusted to us. And if you have a need, I want you to know that you are loved and you are cared for, and this church is here for you. Let's be that kind of a church. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this example in Acts. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us to love by giving. And so, Father, I pray that we would just take that mindset with us as we go throughout our day, go throughout our week. As we get into our car, that's not our car. That's the car you've given to us. You've loaned it to us. As we go to our house, it's not our house. It's the house that you've given to us. You've loaned it to us. What can we do with that house? What can we do with that car to further your kingdom, to help people? That's going to be the mark of the good invest, the good return, is how have we loved others with what you've given to us. Lord, shake us out of our comfort zone. Shake us out of our complacency. Shake me out of those things, Lord, because there are people around us in need. And if we're just doing church and not meeting needs, we've missed it. Help us to be meeting the needs of those around us. Give us that heart. Give us your heart for people. And we'll give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.